This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
My blood is flooding with, it's pretty much at this point, I would say pure sugar. It's like maple syrup because of all of the baking and just eating shit I've done this in the past 2 days. Hello, and as always, welcome to Pinot and Perfume. I'm your host, Sarah Chacon. As I mentioned before, I have just, this weekend, I have really leaned into the holiday spirit. My husband was in Tampa with some friends last night. Apparently, he thought it was a boys' night, but it wasn't. Wives were invited. Didn't invite me. But because he didn't, he honestly thought it was just going to be the boys, which is why he did not invite me. So now I look like I just didn't want to hang out. But that's cool. I ended up having fun on my own. I took advantage of him being out of the house and I went to Target, and I know it's probably cringe that I pronounce it Target, whatever, get over it. Went to Target and Old Navy and got a few little like stocking stuffer, nothing big, but just to kind of make Christmas a little bit special. We usually don't exchange gifts. Because we buy each other shit all year long. I know it's probably like toothachingly sweet. I know. But yeah, we pretty much, we're pretty thoughtful with each other all year long. So for like things like Christmas, like we don't really get each other a lot of shit. This year we kind of did like a joint gift and we got ourselves a grill on Black Friday, but I still wanted a little Christmas day, a little something under the tree, you know? So, and he doesn't listen to this and I'm pretty sure he's not paying attention to what I'm saying now. So I can say this, on the show, but I went and got some, he loves Reese's peanut butter cups. So they had like the Reese's Pieces trees. Got a couple of those, stashed them away in a dark corner of the freezer. So hopefully he won't find them. I don't think he will. This is like a spot that he never looks. Got some red vines that I never see. I always see Twizzlers, which is my jam. But he is a weirdo and likes red vines. Finally saw some of those. So I stashed those in our closet. And I went and got us matching PJ bottoms from Old Navy. Nothing crazy. I mean, I thought about it, because they had a pair of brown person Santa, and then they had a pair of white Santa pants. And if you didn't think that I seriously considered for a few seconds, then think again, because I thought it would be hilarious if I was rocking the white person Santa and he was rocking the brown person Santa. For those who don't know, my husband is Latino, Mexican-American, so it would have made sense. But I didn't, because I was a little bit too insane and I wanted to kind of like dip my toe in the water. So I just got us some respectable plaid, and they're not really matching, they're more coordinating. So I got like the red plaid short PJ bottoms and got him like gray and tan plaid flannel PJ pants. And they're a light flannel, so they shouldn't be too hot. He might hate it. He probably will hate it because that's not his jam. But I shredded the receipt already, so he's got no choice but to wear them. Had a pause for a dramatic sip of my wine. I'm drinking a Kirkland Malbec. I never profess to be high-end on this show, just so you know. Still rocking the press-on nails that I put on last week. I don't know if I talked about them on the show, but I think I probably did. And I drink Costco wine. Come at me. So yeah, and I also did some baking yesterday. I made this like trash cake that I saw on a TikTok recipe, took advantage of him being away, because I know if he would have seen me make it, it would have been like a million questions. Like, what are you making? Why are you making that? Why are you on TikTok? Blah, blah, blah. And I just didn't feel like answering them. I just wanted to try this easy ass recipe to see what it tastes like. It's delicious. It needs ice cream or milk because it's a little bit too sweet. Basically, you put Oreos in a row in like a baking, like a Pyrex bowl, baking bowl thing. Pour sweetened condensed milk over it. Put Cool Whip over that. You go through a whole carton of Cool Whip. And then on top of that, you pour a package of cake mix. And on top of that, you do like a stick and a half of butter, you know, butter slices. And you bake all that shit for 45 minutes at 350. The result is like, not quite a brownie, not quite a cake, ooey gooey little something. That's really, really good. And I also made whipped hot chocolate. Basically, it's whipped chocolate whipped cream. But it was a Pinterest recipe that my friend Monica sent me. Hey, girl, if you're listening. And it worked out pretty well. Basically, it's like a packet. The measurements on there is like 3 tablespoons of hot chocolate mix. So like Swiss mix or something. And then like 5 tablespoons of heavy whipping cream. I started doing that and then I was like, fuck it. So I put in the whole pack of hot chocolate. And then I just eyeballed that shit for the whipping cream. Mixed that shit together. You know, beat it all together. Turns out it makes like a chocolate whipped cream that I topped with my coffee. I'm one festive bitch this year. We ordered a tree off Amazon, waiting for it to be delivered. It's supposed to be delivered this week. I don't know what the fucking holdup is, but I'm ready. My body is ready. We've got ornaments. We got to go to Family Dollar and get like probably more ornaments to round it out. Because right now, ornament collection is small and it's composed of ornaments from our childhood, you know, his time overseas and ornaments that people have given us, ornaments we picked up on our honeymoon. It covers our itty bitty tree that we were rocking for a number of years, like a desktop tree, but not a full-sized Christmas tree. So we got to get some, like, just some generic, you know, ornaments and a tree stand. I am so ready. And I usually don't go all out for the holidays. And I would say I'm not really going all out this year, but I'm more just leaning into my tendencies to just be a real basic bitch around the holidays. Because I don't want to go all out and stress myself out. Like, we're pretty minimalistic. You know, we don't have a whole lot of Christmas decorations, which is fine. I don't know if I want to spend a lot of, you know, all of my money on Christmas decorations. That's not my jam. I like a few, but that's not the story I'm writing with my life, is to just have to be the person with like a bunch of Christmas decorations. But I am excited for the tree. I'm really excited because we're staying home for Christmas, so just trying to make it special. I'm going to do some research on some like brunch dishes to make for Christmas morning. It's going to be wonderful. So I don't know what he's going to say about the pajama bottoms, but basically, if anything, I just bought myself 2 pairs of PJs. Yeah. Also, we watched The Nightmare Before Christmas, one of his favorite movies. Like, he knows that shit front and back. He can quote it. This was the first time I have watched it since I was a kid. And let me tell you, what a refreshing and beautiful reminder to stay the fuck in one's own lane. That's the whole point of the show. I mean, spoiler alert if you guys haven't seen it. I mean, this is like, what, almost 30 years old by now, this movie. But basically, Jack is like the pumpkin king, and he lives in Halloween Town, so like every day is Halloween. He finds out what Christmas is, pretty much creams himself over it, and tries to make Christmas cheer in Halloween Town. And he tries to actually hijack Christmas, not because he's malicious, but because he wants to just spread good cheer. So they end up like kind of like kidnapping Santa Claus, and he's like, "You're gonna take the day off, big fella. I'm the new Santa Claus now. I'm gonna do it." And so he's dropping off these gifts to these kids, and it's all like shrunken heads and like shit that they make in Halloween Town, which is not designed for Christmas. So basically, he ruins Halloween because he's dropping off these insane gifts to families and scaring them and their kids. And then they end up realizing, then he was like, damn, I fucked it up. So Santa needs to come and set this shit right. So he does. And that's the movie. Basically, and as my husband put it, Santa puts on a vulgar display of power and makes it snow in Halloween Town, and then gets the fuck out of there and tries to salvage Christmas. And that's the whole point. The whole point is that you need to stay in your lane. If your specialty is Halloween, don't go trying to hijack Christmas. And I think that's a lesson we can all learn. Within reason, obviously you want to try new things, but you know, if I were an Olympic swimmer. No, actually, you know what? I'm not even going to do a hypothetical example. I'll use a real world example. I am not going to be a prima ballerina. A, because I think ballet is beautiful. I love the aesthetic of the ballerinas. Never studied ballet in my entire life. I probably would hate it. I lasted for a year when I took tap. So I strongly doubt the a form of dance that requires dedication and focus and like years of studying, which tap really doesn't, but you know, like ballet does to master, I'm not going to be cut out for it. And if I was cut out, and even if I wanted to, and I was like, you know, I'm going to take an adult ballet class. I have thought about it. Not going to do it. Even if I decided, yeah, I know I'm not ever going to be a prima ballerina. I'm never going to be front and center at like a Nutcracker performance or a Swan Lake performance with the New York City Ballet. I can't dance. I'm 50 pounds too heavy. And I got tits that jiggle for days. None of which is conducive to being a ballerina. If I tried to decide it, I wanted to be a professional ballerina, somebody, probably my husband, would need to step in and say, you need to stay in your lane. You're a marketer. You need to figure out a path to get promoted within that. You know, maybe you could make the podcast thing work full time, not right now, but maybe if, you know, right combination of circumstances happened. But you are not cut out to be a prima ballerina. And I think that's an important life lesson that we need to learn. I mean, it's fun to break out of your comfort zone, and it's fun to try new things, and we certainly should do that. But if you try that and you realize, I'm kind of a round peg and I'm trying to fit in a square hole, it's okay to abandon that notion. And that's what A Nightmare Before Christmas tells us to do. We need not be ashamed. We're not all cut out to be ballerinas. We're not all cut out to be president of the United States of America. If you have ambitions that you think are not lofty enough, or you think should be loftier because you feel pressure, like people think that maybe you being content with your life as is you not showing ambition, tell them to fuck right off. You're staying in your lane and you're quite happy about it. Life lessons. I also wanted to touch on the fact, I don't know if I have talked about it on the show. I feel like I have, but let's rehash. What is with like LARPing as a pioneer woman or a pioneer girl? I feel like that's really taken off in the past few years. And instead of being looked down upon, it's being celebrated. And you have all these Instagram people posting, you know, these beautiful pictures of them gathering flowers, and they're like Little House on the Prairie adjacent dress. What is it? I sound bitter because I was doing that shit back in 1997, 1998, and I was not celebrated. I was looked at as a weird girl. I had a love for Anna Green Gables and a love for period Christian romances, and I tried to reflect that in my dress. The Christmas of 1998, my mom, when I was way older, I should have known better because I was in eighth grade. I had my mom sew me a pioneer-inspired dress. It was red and green plaid, and I pinned a little rhinestone candy cane to the white collar, and I remember thinking, oh my God, I look amazing. My crush, who was my friend's older brother, is going to see me in this, and he is going to want me. I mean, he's going to be DTF as soon as he sees me in this dress. I looked like a goddamn Mennonite. No lie. I mean, it looked 100% like I walked off Kirsten, you know, the American Girl doll Kirsten. She was a pioneer one. I looked like I walked off her farm or her homestead, wherever the fuck she lived. I walked right off that and into 1998, which was modern day at the time. The collar was like buttoned up to my neck. No skin was showing. I was wearing like boots that looked like boots from that time period. So it's like no skin was showing. I was really following the dress code back in the day when it was like, you know, your ankles were considered sexy, so not to let them show unknowingly, but I wanted to like really commit to the look. So I got like the boots for it. Really committing to that dress code. Sexy. I looked like a lot of things. Sexy was not one of them. You can actually look it up online. I'm going to do it now. I'll show you. Don't look up Sarah Chacon because it's not going to be under there. It's going to be under my maiden name. Let me do it myself before I tell you guys how to do it. Let me tell you what to Google. Let's see. Okay, so this is not, let's see. Sarah Chacon dress. Actually, Sarah Van Blair come. So basically, they're in the Tampa Bay Times, like back in the day. I can't find it, but Tampa Bay Times back in the day. So we're talking like 2009, 2010, maybe. There was a section called Deal Divas, and I loved it because it was a bunch of like a group of like maybe four or five women who would post about like kind of like looking fashionable on a budget that was like the whole gambit. But they had an ugly Christmas dress contest that I won. You had to submit a picture. It was like ugliest, most awkward. I won that shit. I won. It was like a Miss Manicure set, autographed copy of Cookielicious, which was written by like their food editor, and it was a bunch of cookie recipes and some other bullshit. I won because I submitted a picture of me in the pioneer dress, and now I can't find it. You used to be able to Google my name and try to find it. Let's see. One stab, one last stab at it. I just typed in Sarah Pioneer dress, and that did not. Ooh, is not turning out what I want to be. Yikes. Yipes. Maybe if maybe my top, I do have a blog. I don't really update it that much anymore, but I think I wrote about it on my blog. Let's see. See. Nope. So you can try typing in Sarah Van Blair Cum. That's my maiden name, VanBlairCum, and do a combination of like Sarah Van Blair Cum Deal Divas, Sarah Van Blair Cum Christmas dress, Sarah Van Blair Cum awkward dress, Christmas contest. I don't know, maybe one of those will turn it up. It's not turning anything up for me, but you'll know it when you see it. I have hair that comes down to my chin. I haven't yet discovered the art of the blowout. So basically, I was letting my hair dry and then brushing it, and my hair's a poof, but I have it clipped up at the top, wearing a red and green plaid Christmas dress. It is terrible and amazing all at once. And now I'm bitter because what was looked down upon as being weird and a little sad is now being celebrated and, being posted with filters on Instagram, like it's, and people are trying to make it sexy. And I don't get it. When did I was ahead of the curve and I wasn't even recognized for it? That's where this comes in. That's where it does. So call me a trendsetter, and next time I do something that sounds very weird, right now I'm trying to make press-on nails happen because I'm still rocking the manicure I gave myself last week with these press-on nails. Kiss and press if you want the brand. I've had to replace three nails, two nails I had to replace twice because I'm really hard on my nails, but other than that, they do last pretty good for press-on nails. Like they're not going to last forever, but they last for as long as you need them to. They don't look cheap. And if you're going to judge me thinking, girl, just go and get some acrylics, watch. Press-on nails, if they're not the rage already, they're going to be in the next few years. Because I'm a trendsetter, I should know this. Now, enough of me rambling. We're going to get into Scent of the Week. Okay, so this week's Scent of the Week is Olympia by Paco Rabanne. Now, I don't know how to pr if it's pronounced Olympia or Olympia on my Parfumo app. She has like a weird pronunciation. It's like it's French trying to pronounce it and it doesn't sound right.
Olympia.
You hear that?
Olympia.
Like it sounds weird. So I've heard it pronounced Olympia. You know what? I'm just going to pronounce Olympia because that sounds weird too. Anyway, this was the fragrance I won on FragranceNet Win What You Want Wednesday contest. I won it in October. It was a good day because I wanted to see what I've heard that this one has a salted vanilla note, and I wanted to check it out. and I didn't want to spend the money on it because I wasn't sure if I'd like it. Which I'm intrigued by Paco Rabanne's fragrances because it seems like a lot of them have like the gimmick note. You know what I mean? Like this one's got salted vanilla. Pure Excess has the popcorn note. You know, like it's just like they have one note that's kind of a gimmick, but that totally draws me in. So I had to see for myself. And the verdict is that I totally would buy this with my own money because I really, really like it. It's really pretty. So let's go in to the notes. Let me find it. So I went to the brand's website. I've got a bunch of tabs open up in here. So the brand describes it as, and if women regained power, she is an absolute icon, the special one, Olympia Eau de Parfum, a masterpiece for the gods. Its scent captivates and fascinates. Trouble in paradise, a sensual fragrance with notes of caramel, salty vanilla, to which one bows, sexy queen. They're basically just doing, it was kind of a weird description. It was basically a bunch of descriptions like in paragraph format, but whatever. So they say that this is a quote unquote fresh floral scent built on a salty vanilla harmony, duality between the two intensities, the floral fresh impulse, which is green tangerine, water jasmine, and ginger flower, and captivating sensuality, which is salty vanilla, ambergris harmony, and cashmere wood, end quote. Now, something I found, I learned this on, I think it was a Paulina Shar video. She really likes Olympia. She's a YouTube fragrance reviewer. She likes Olympia. I think she pronounces it Olympia. She likes Olympia, and she also really likes Alien by Tara Mugler. I think it was her video. It might have been a different video now. I don't know if it was simple the Simple Chic Life or hers. I want to say it's hers. But anyway, somebody commented that the perfumer who helped to create Alien also helped to create Olympia, which is probably why she liked it. And sure enough, the perfumer, this was created by a bunch of people, but one of the perfumers is Dominique Ropion, who also created Alien by Terry Mugler. So these don't smell alike, but I think they do. I mean, it makes sense that she would create both because they're both very unique floral fragrances. And I can see, I mean, I don't know. I feel like certain perfumers, you can kind of tell their DNA and the scents that they create. So it's not surprising to me that she created both of these scents. Whew, I got dry mouth, guys. So to me, the salty vanilla is way prominent. Like, I'm smelling the atomizer now, and it smells, I mean, it just smells like salt and vanilla. And the salt reminds me of if you go to the beach and you collect shells, and, like, you don't wash them off, because I did that when I was a kid. Not to be gross, but that's what I would do. And then, like, you smell them later, and it has, like, that dank salt fragrance. That's what this smells like. It smells just like kind of the sea, which is really, really cool. Now, on me, the saltiness is not so dank. It almost gives it kind of a clean vanilla fragrance. And it could be too with the jasmine water and the ginger flower as well. Like it's very, it's not an aquatic scent, but it's both very light. And so to me, this smells very florally, pretty florally feminine, but also like a clean floral. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like this, the saltiness kind of makes it a super clean floral, a super clean vanilla. Like this vanilla is not like it's not like a gourmand vanilla. It's not super rich. You know, there's not like tonka or any shit in there to like give it depth. It's the salt is what kind of lightens it up and makes it fit very well with the jasmine and ginger. And like the green, I can't tell the green to gingerine, but maybe that's like also like the clean smelling, the smell that I'm getting. Beautifully blended. So really good composition, beautiful blend. It smells so pretty. When I first put it on me and then I put on my little robe that I got from Ulta when I bought Bon Bon Couture, when I would go back and put the robe on the next day, I'm like, ooh, this smells so good. What laundry detergent did I use? And then I remembered, not laundry detergent because I use scentless laundry detergent because I got sensitive skin. It was Olympia that had rubbed off. Like and it smelled so pretty and so fresh on my robe. So I think this is, I mean, I'm so glad I chose this fragrance to win. And I'm really glad I got to experience this fragrance because I think it's one of my favorites. I think this would be one that I would definitely purchase. Once I finish this bottle, I would definitely repurchase this without hesitation because it's so pretty. Now, in terms of longevity and projection, I would say the projection on it is kind of weak. I would say maybe it projects half an hour. And then it kind of sits a little bit closer to the skin. It's not a skin scent, but it's not a beast mode fragrance too. So if you're thinking this is a beast mode like Alien, it's not. 100% it is not. Longevity, it'll get you through a work day. Again, it'll sit close to the skin though. So you're not going to be projecting. You may catch whiffs of it on yourself, depending on where you spray it. But if you wanted to wear this to work and then wear it, you know, on a night out, then you would have to reapply or at least freshen it up a little bit. Cause it does kind of fade after a good, like 5-6 hours. But if that's something that bothers you, then that's something to consider. To me, it doesn't. I mean, I'll reapply, whatever. I don't give a shit. And if I can't reapply, oh well. But it's such a feminine scent. And it's weird because when you think of like a Greek, because it's after like a Greek goddess, right? Like it's supposed to invoke like Greek goddesses, like a powerful woman. And so you think it would be a little bit heavier than it is, that it would have, I don't know, something like the ambergris would be heavier or like the vanilla would be really heavy in it, but it's not. Everything's very light and clean and feminine and floral. So, which makes this, I think this is a good year-round scent if you are the type of person to, you know, break up scents by season or time of day, whatever. I think this is a good year-round scent. I think it works in the spring, obviously, because it's a floral. But I do think it could work during the summer because it's light enough. It's not super cloying. At least that's not what I get from it. The fall and the winter, the salted vanilla works. And I could see this. It's been cooler in Florida in the mornings, at least, except for today. But I think the salted vanilla kind of gives it a crispness that I think would work really well in cool weather. And I've been wearing it this week and it has worked really well. So I think this is a good kind of year-round fragrance. I think this is a good everyday fragrance. Like I said, it's not as intense as Alien. So I think you could wear it. I mean, you could wear Alien to the office too. I have. But I think you do need to be cognizant about how much you spray on Alien, because it could go from 0 to 60 like that. With Olympia, I don't think you need to. Because again, it's not as loud as Alien. It's not going to project as much as Alien. And it does scent, once it settles down, it does sit closer to the skin. So I think you could be a somewhat generous sprayer with this and not choke out your office mates. Yeah, I mean, I think this would be pretty on a date. This would be pretty at home, wearing around at home. So, I mean, this is a really good, versatile fragrance. Yeah. I really like it. Like I said, they have other flankers of Olympia too. They have like Olympia Intense, Olympia Legend. I'm not a big fan of flankers. I would be interested to see how Olympia Intense kind of works, but this was like love at first sniff. Because when I got it, and this was my first impressions on Instagram, I sprayed the box and it smelled very pretty. And to me, at the time, I think I said it smelled slightly powdery and there's no powder notes in it. That was just kind of like the florally. Sometimes florals can smell a little bit powdery, depending. And then when I sprayed it on me this week, this is the first week I've worn it, the first time I've worn it since my initial impression. And I was just in love. Like, it's so, so pretty. So definitely a fragrance worth checking out. Pricing. You can buy this on FragranceNet, obviously, because I won it from them. And let's see. They have 5 sizes available, up to 45% off right now. They also have gift sets, so that's something to check out. So their Eau de Parfum spray, 0.67 ounces, unboxed, is $31.99, which is like a purse spray. With the coupon, it's $20.15. You got a 1 ounce eau de parfum spray for $49.99. With the coupon, it's $31.49. What size did I win? I think I won like the 1.7 ounce or the 1 ounce. I think I threw the box away and I can't tell from this light. I think mine, let's see, 30 mil. No. I think I won like the 1 ounce or the 1.7 ounce. So the 1 ounce is $31.49 with the coupon. The 1.7 ounce is $43.46 with the 46 cents with the coupon. The 2.7 ounce, which they're saying it's the best deal, you can get it for $59.84 with the coupon. Without it, you're paying $94.99. So there is good savings. And the retail price for this is $108. So even at their discounted price, it's a savings. With the coupon, it's even more of a savings. And then you got an Eau de Parfum spray vial, which is, I think, it's a sample, which is $3.99. And then $2.51 with the coupon. So the 1 ounce typically retails for $59. And the 1.7 ounce typically retails for $84. So I think your best bet is to get it off of a discounter site like FragranceNet. And FragranceNet does not sponsor this podcast. I know I talk about them all the time. I just legitimately buy my perfumes when I'm not on my fragrance no buy from them because I have never had a problem. They've always arrived in a timely fashion. They've always arrived in one piece. I've checked batch codes. It's always been fresh, not super old. So I have nothing to say but good things for FragranceNet. Now I mentioned she's a little parched, so I was drinking water. So they have one set is sold out. It was the 2.7 ounce Eau de Parfum spray plus a body lotion that's 3.4 ounces plus the mini 3.4 or 0.3.4. Eau de Parfum spray, which is like the travel one, that's sold out. But they have another one, which is a 2.7 ounce plus a 3.4, 2.7 ounce Eau de Parfum plus the 3.4 ounce body lotion and a 0.20 ounce Eau de Parfum mini, which I think is still up for grabs. Their price is $146.99 typically, but then with the coupon, it's $92.60. So that's also another option if you want to get someone a really nice Christmas gift or treat yourself. So I still think, though, if you don't care about the gift sets, like the lotions, or if you have sensitive skin like me, the 2.7 ounces is $59.84 like by itself. So you would be spending more for the addition of the travel lotion. So if you don't care about that, then just get the perfume by itself. But if you want to gift it to somebody, or if you do care about the lotion, that other one is the gift set is a good deal as well. So as always, I turn it over to you and you guys never answer my questions. So interact on Instagram, you know, like, let me know what you think about this scent. Do you like it? Have you worn it? What do you think about it? What's your experience been with Olympia? I love it. I want to know what you think. All right. Now moving on to fragrance in the news. This one came in my inbox, this first story, because guys, Pinot and Perfume is moving on up in the world. I got a press release, a legitimate press release from about this new perfume. So I don't know if you guys remember a band called The Kooks. They were, I think, like an indie band that was popular, I don't know, like early to mid 2000s, maybe. I didn't think I had heard of them, but then I heard the song She Moves in Her Own Way, which I think is like probably one of their well-known songs. And I was like, oh, I've definitely heard this somewhere. I don't know if it was on a commercial, on an old episode of Dawson's Creek. I don't know, but I've heard it. But anyway, the lead singer of that band, Luke Pritchard, teamed up with his wife, who was also a singer-songwriter. Her name is Ellie Rose, has a cover of Falling Slowly, which is probably one of the best songs, one of my favorite songs, next to Crash Into Me. But I side note, I'm going off on a tangent. They teamed up with perfumer Antonio Gardoni, who has his own line perfumes called Bogue Profumo to come out with a perfume called Lita. This is inspired by their album coming out on December 18th called Duo. So I think Lita is supposed to represent kind of like all facets of love. So it's like sweet, yet sensual, yet painful. That's how they kind of describe it. The top notes are bergamot, grapefruit, ylang ylang, sandalwood, coriander seeds, and gardenia. The heart notes are tobacco, patchouli, champaka, jasmine, and cypress. And the base notes are benzoin, vetiver, vanilla, tonka bean, myrrh, and incense. So you've got the floral, and then you got some of the sexier, like, bottom notes, like, and floral. So, like, you got the jasmine, which is sexy. Then you got, like, the myrrh, the incense that kind of makes it the vanilla, which can be heavy and kind of sensual. So kind of like all the facets of when you fall in love, the sweet with the sensual and the heavy. Now I looked up Bogue Profumo, and apparently this dude, Antonio Gardoni, his thing is he, I guess he creates solvents from like alcohol found in like resins, woods, roots, metals, and creates scents from the solvents from those items. So that's like his thing. He currently has 1, 2, 3, 4 scents to his, you know, on Bogue Profumo's name. One is called De L'Heure 2, which I think it's interesting because Emily in Paris, her first client is, I think, is a perfume called De L'Heure. And I think I'm probably pronouncing that wrong in both sense, but I just think it's interesting. Little Emily in Paris tie-in, Savoir Shade, other podcasts with Jenna Broughton. We recap Emily in Paris, hot plug. So yeah, so that's like his specialty. So let me look. So I looked up his other, it's funny on his website that they're under odors, but he also has other projects. So yeah, they have MAAI Mai, which is scent of mystery, Por Ocupar a Pensar. But under odors, they have Mai, which was born in June of 2014, O/E, which was came out in March 2015, MEM, which came out in May of 2017, and then De L'Heure 2, which came out this year in October. Are these on Parfumo? Let me see what they have. Let me see to kind of get a feel for this guy, what kind of notes they have. D-O-U-L-E-U-R. Oh, he has De L'Heure and De L'Heure 2. So De L'Heure 2 is known as synthetic woody. That's what Parfumo says. The fragrance notes aren't listed. God damn it. What about De L'Heure? That came out in 2019. That was created in collaboration with tattoo artist Freddie Albrighton. So I guess, yeah, this guy also, Antonio also collaborates with like different artists in different mediums. So yeah, so this one he's teaming up with Luke Pritchard and Ely Rose for Lita. Now here's how he describes it. Let me get back to my press release. So this is a direct quote from him. He goes, from Antonio. He says, music and perfume share a lot of similarities like notes and structure. They both help set the mood and create atmosphere. Using Duo's music for inspiration, I wanted to produce something that echoed their dark, smoky, lustful sound. This is a perfume about love, a tale of our inner demons rising to meet in a new world of their making. I chose benzoin and myrrh for sweet tears, vetiver for great depth, flowers for new romance, coriander and thyme for more freshness. At all times, the perfume oscillates between darkness and green tones, but remains warm. Balsamic, flowery, and aromatic, this fragrance speaks of itself. Top quality ingredients and dramatic contrasts. Shifting between sticky resins and luminous flowers, herbs and spices with a touch of fruit, the perfume dries down to a heart of darkness, hallowed by an aura of emerald green. Love has worked its magic. So they have a bit of background on Antonio Gardoni. So he's originally from an architecture and design background. And yeah, they kind of just echo, like, he infuses resins, woods, roots, and metals, and alcohol. And that's what he, the solvents done from that is what he uses to create his perfumes. So Duo, what started this whole perfume thing, is going to be out on the 18th of December. It is a chic, this is from the press release, it is a chic cinematic 11-song ode to connection, kismet, lust, and sensuality. Duo is songs from the heart and occasionally the hips, which I love. So yeah, so originally this press release also had a note at the top saying, here's a press release. Would you be interested in having Antonio or Luke and Ellie on Pinot and Perfume? I responded, hell yes. I would like all three if, you know, schedules worked out. And I thought through some, I kind of gave them more of a background on my show, threw some ideas out, and I have not heard back. So this was, he originally, well, their PR rep originally reached out to me on December the 3rd, 10 days ago. When I got back to them, I got the email like at 7:30 that morning when I was doing my makeup for work, working at home, but I just felt the spirit was moving me to put on a face. So I was, and then after I got off work, I read the press release more in depth. And I responded back like at 7:30 that night and said, absolutely, oh, 8 o'clock that night, and said, absolutely, threw out some ideas for the show, a bit of background on the show, asked if that would be of interest, and it's been crickets ever since. So I don't know if it's, I mean, I think this happens. I know I listen to a podcast that I listen to quite frequently, The Bitch Bible with Jackie Schimmel. If you have not listened to it, you need to start because she is hilarious. But she's had that happen to her. And she has, I mean, she's way, her podcast is way more popular than mine is. So I think that's kind of par for the course in this world. Either that, or they looked at my analytics and they realized they would be slumming it if they came on this show. But Antonio, Luke, Ellie, if you wanted to come in and talk about your perfume, I'm small but mighty, guys. And I'm one of the few perfume podcasts in the space. So you are most welcome anytime on this show to talk about your perfume, talk about your music. It would be a great honor to have you. And a bold bitch is going to be tagging each one of these people in her Instagram post promoting this perfume. So I'll keep you, and now I'll, you know, keep you guys posted. I do not think anything will come of it, but I thought it was kind of neat that I got, you know, a little PR sent my way. Well, a PR press release about upcoming perfume. And there was an invitation to have people who are much more successful than me on the show. So I'm moving on up. So we'll see what happens. Okay. So we're going to go with this one from Allure. Apparently Dolly Parton is going to come out with a fragrance line, and that includes home fragrances as well as skin fragrance. It's going to drop in spring 2021. Apparently, she's been wanting to get into the beauty space for some time, and I think that she had said in the past that she wants her own line of wigs and hair pieces. Excuse me, Jesus. But that will be neither. This, her intro, she's not going to come out with either first. Now that could come later, but she's launching her own fragrance line in the spring of 2021, and nobody knows what it's about yet. It's super new and early, but apparently it's going to be available in a wide variety of formats, and Dolly loves fragrance. I did not know that, but she really likes fragrance. She's working with Edge Beauty to debut this line. And they're looking, right now they're looking at like retailers and distribution channels. So super early in the game, it sounds like. But according to Dolly Parton, this is her a direct quote. Fragrance has always played a major role in my life. I wear my own combination of scents every day, end quote. So we'll see what's going to happen, see what kind of fragrance she's going to debut. I don't know if this is going to be, because, you know, sometimes celebrity scents are not that good. They're a little bit cheaper, but I think everybody would probably snap up a Dolly Parton fragrance. She's just that well loved. I know I would be interested in sampling it. So keep your eye on for that, eye out for that. Hopefully, God willing, COVID will be gone by spring 2021. I can't even imagine. I know some people are now saying it could be 2022 before we end in this shit, but God willing, it'll be done. I think the vaccine has, FDA has approved Pfizer and BioNTech's vaccine to be distributed. So hopefully we'll be nipping this shit in the bud pretty soon. But if not, that is good to know that her little fragrance line is going to come out in the spring. It's something to look forward to in the future. I know right now everybody's like jazzed for Christmas, myself included. All right, the last one we're going to look at is from whowhatwear.com. And these are like the top 10, like Gucci's best perfumes from their line. And they start, the author starts talking about how she always gets compliments when she wears a Gucci perfume. Girl, same. I have Gucci Guilty Absolute Parfum. Always get compliments when I wear it. It's so sexy. It's like that sexy, jammy rose. I love it. I'm going to wear it this week, actually. My husband, on his first date, wore Gucci Guilty for him. To this day, I still love it. My absolute favorite perfume on him. They just make good fragrances. They make fragrances that are compliment getters and that are pretty long-lasting, too. I know on both his and mine, they last a long time and they're pretty good at the projection. So Gucci's where it's at. So these top Gucci perfumes, we start top 10. They start with, I guess, their high, they have like a line from the Alchemist, it's called the Alchemist Garden. And I guess that's like the super high end. It's kind of like how Christian Dior has their regular line, which is not cheap, but still it's like the stuff you can find in Ulta. And then they have Maison Christian Dior, which is like the top tier line. Kind of like how Tom Ford has his private line and then his like regular, you know, slumming it fragrances, which is, again, still aren't cheap, but you know, it's like your line and then your like high-end line, I guess is how a good way to say it. So their high-end line is the Alchemist Garden. And these have very ornate bottles. They're opaque, they're white. The etching and the detail on them is just very delicate. And they look really pretty. They're definitely display pieces for sure. So their number 10 is from the Alchemist Garden. It's called Tears of Iris Eau de Parfum. So they say the keynotes are iris, sandalwood, angelica seed, and musk. And yeah, the Alchemist Garden is the apothecary modeled line of fragrances. And they don't really say it. They say it's one of the iris is one of the most ancient ingredients in perfume history. Okay, great. Iris is kind of powdery too. So that one's probably going to be powdery. That one's got to be careful with the powder. I'm not a big fan of the powder ones. I got to sample it first because powder can smell like old lady so quickly. All right. Number 9, also from the Alchemist Garden, A Chant for the Nymph Eau de Parfum. Then key notes are frangipani flower, ylang ylang, tiare flower, and vanilla. Ooh, and these aren't cheap. These two mofos go for $330 a piece. Yikes. But the bottles are pretty. And if that's in your price range to treat yourself, then get it, girl. So they say it's delicate and intricate, and there's an earthy push and pull between flowers and vanilla. So, and that kind of evokes images of the nymph. So number 8, I hate when these listicles, so I did not look at this prior. I hate when these listicles are like, they have the top 10 from a line and like most of it's all from the same line. You know, it's like top 10 Gucci, they're all going to be from like one line. Top 10 Christian Dior, they're all going to be from one line. Ladies, come on people, spread it out. I want a varied list. Number 8 is from the Alchemist Garden, surprise, A Song for the Rose, Eau de Parfum. Keynotes, Bulgarian rose, sweet musk, and woods. So apparently they say this is the purest form of Bulgarian rose, and it's juxtaposed with musk and woods. Number 7, here we go. We got out of this Alchemist line. Number 7 is Bamboo Eau de Toilette. Keynotes are Italian bergamot, mandarin essence, Casablanca lily, sandalwood, and amber accord. And they say this is classic, elegant, sophisticated, and is a timeless Gucci signature. Number six, Guilty Love, Parfum, Eau de Parfum. This goes for $99. The Gucci Bamboo goes for $85. I don't know what sizes these are linking to. But in the Gucci Guilty Love Parfum, you've got keynotes of bergamot, grapefruit, raspberry, patchouli accord, narcissus flower, violet, jasmine, sambac, musks, and amber. And this person, whoever wrote this article, says this is one of the best Gucci perfumes of all time. That is a high compliment. I guess they say that it's kind of a vintage style, and the notes, one by one, kind of the notes unfold for you. So it's like a surprise, I guess, when you wear it. Number five is Bloom Ambrosia Di Fiori Eau de Parfum Intense. You got keynotes of jasmine bud, Rangoon creeper, damask rose, tuberose, and orris. And they describe it as rich, velvet, decadent, and positively drippy with rare, beautiful florals. That's a really great description. Okay, number four is Bloom Eau de Parfum. Keynotes are Rangoon creeper, jasmine bud, and tuberose. And apparently that's less rich than the Ambrosia Di Fiori Eau de Parfum Intense. Number three is Mémoire d'une Eau de Parfum. I saw this in Marshalls, actually. I didn't snap it up. This retails for $120. Maybe I should snap it up next time I see it. Keynotes are Roman chamomile, coral jasmine, vanilla, musk, sandalwood, and cedarwood. They describe it as earthy, woody, and slightly herbaceous. Apparently, it's one of Gucci's best all-time scents, even though it's new. The Gucci Bloom, if you're curious, just the regular Bloom Eau de Parfum, it retails for $104. And then the Ambrosia Di Fiori Eau de Parfum Intense retails for $112. Damn, this Gucci Mémoire, that's regular $120. I saw it at Marshall's. I think it was like $60. Holy shit. All right. Number two is Guilty Eau de Toilette. And that retails for $80. You've got geranium, pink pepper, lilac, peach, amber, and patchouli. I'm getting the burps from this wine. And they call it sleek, shiny, and fantastically magnetic. Number one is Flora Gorgeous Gardenia Eau de Toilette. It's got notes of red berries, pear, and white gardenia, and that's $80 as well. So they say this is enigmatic and perfectly balanced between fruity and floral. So that's their take. I haven't smelled a lot of the Gucci line, to be honest. I just know I really love Gucci Guilty for him and Gucci Guilty Absolute Parfum. And I've smelled, there was a Gucci, I think it was a Gucci Bloom scent that was only specific to Sephora stores. And I remember smelling that in the store. Obviously, this had to have been last year. Obviously before COVID, and it smelled so good. And right now, I couldn't tell you what the name of it was. It was a Gucci Bloom. It came in a green bottle, I think. It was so pretty. So yeah, Gucci, 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 Gucci. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. Do you like Gucci perfumes? Let me know which is your favorite. All right, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Everything that I mentioned, I will link to in the show notes. If you want to connect with me online, I'm at Pinot and Perfume on Instagram. If you are on Peloton, I'm not being bougie. I use a Peloton app with an off-brand Schwinn bike. Don't come at me. But no, if you use a Peloton app or you're bougie and have a bike, no judging, very envious, and you want to be workout buddies, I'm also at Pinot and Perfume there. Other than that, oh, yeah, I also have another podcast that I do with my friend Jenna. I shamelessly plugged it in the Fragrance in the News segment, But that is called Savoir Shade. We recap each episode of Emily in Paris. We're also going to do a bonus recap because we've been talking about the Hallmark, you know, the cheesy Christmas movies that come out, like Hallmark, Lifetime, Netflix, they all have them. We're going to be recapping one of those. We still don't know which one yet. So if you have any suggestions, let us know. But you can catch me on there as well if you like Emily in Paris or if you like to hate Emily in Paris. So if the spirit moves you, you want to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, maybe leave a 5-star review. I'm not going to stop you. And other than that, I hope you guys aren't too stressed out this holiday season. Make sure to take time for yourselves. Okay. And whatever you're doing, you are having fun, you are being safe, and most importantly, you are smelling good. Bye.
Pinot and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.